Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Returning once again to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we want to get a little bit further into this chapter that deals with God's created distinction between the sexes. And it starts out in the first several verses with this basic understanding that men and women have a different place in God's order, and therefore that men ought to not cover their heads when they involve themselves in corporate worship, but women should cover their heads when they are involved in corporate worship. And he tells us the reason for these distinctions. It's obvious that God has made a distinction between male and female. It's obvious that God expects his people to recognize and manifest that distinction between male and female in the very way they dress and in the way that they worship. And then he gives the reasons for that distinction in verses 7 and following. And he tells us, as we saw on the broadcast the last couple times, that this has to do with God's created order. God created men and women to be distinct one from another. They are different in their creation, and they are different in their assignments, their assignments, their assigned roles within creation. So, he says in verse 7, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but a woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man," and so forth. We'll get to those verses in just a moment. But he makes it very clear that this goes all the way back to creation. God made the difference. God expects us to recognize and maintain that difference, and our unwillingness to do so is disobedience to God. That's what the Scripture teaches, and we need to bow to that. And so thank you for joining me on this Tuesday, February 8, and thank you for the financial gifts that enable us to continue teaching God's Word on this station. He goes on to say in verse 8, "For man is not from woman, but woman from man." That, this too goes back to the original creation. God created man out of the dust of the ground. And he created him first. He didn't create men and women simultaneously. He could have, but he didn't. He followed a certain order, and he created the man, the male, first. And he created the male out of the dust of the ground. Then, as you know, if you have read Genesis chapter 1, God created a female and brought her to Adam. But how did God create the female? He created the female from ribs that he took out of the side of Adam when he put Adam to sleep. The first surgery known to man, the first anesthesia known to man. God did all of that. So that's what Paul is saying here. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Man wasn't created out of woman. God didn't create the man out of the side of the woman. He created man out of the dust of the ground, but then he created the woman out of the side of the man. Now, there's probably some beautiful symbolism in that, and sometimes that gets referred to in wedding ceremonies and so forth, that God created the woman out of the side of the man to be loved by him, to be cherished by him, and so forth. There's a lot of lot of things in that that are probably very, very correct, very true. But this much is clear. Man is not from woman, but woman from man, nor was man created. And this is the second statement that parallels the first one, and this is where it gets culturally challenging in our day. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. And again, this goes back to original creation. God created man alone and gave him the responsibility to subdue the earth and to take charge of the garden and to name the animals. He did all that, and all of that is an act of authority over creation. God gave man, not mankind, but man by himself, before there was a woman, this authority over creation. And then he created the woman to help him in the job that's given to him. I will make a helper suitable for you. And he put Adam to sleep, and out of his side he took some material, and out of that he made a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." She was created out of me. I wasn't created out of her. She was created out of me. "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And then Paul goes on to say, we dealt with this a couple broadcasts ago, "For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels." Now, I already dealt with that. I don't know what that means. I don't think anybody knows what that means. I gave you a couple of possible explanations for that on a broadcast last week, and I'm not going to go back to that again. But we go on, verse 11. Nevertheless, in spite of all that has been said so far, nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman, but all things are from God. Now, what's this all about? Well, he's saying that in the Lord, that is, those who are Christians, those who are joined to Christ, do not use the truths that have been revealed about the created order and man being created first and he not being created for the woman, but the woman created for the man and so forth. Christians don't use these truths in an abusive way. Christians do not abuse this truth that has been given. They must not. Christians are of a different mindset. And one of the things that Christians will recognize is that even though in the created order there's a clear distinction, there's a clear first and second, male first, female second, male given assignments and authority and responsibility, the woman given to be a partner and helper to him in these assignments. But there is also the recognition of an interdependence that genders respect. Each needs the other. There is not this independence that sometimes often rises up in a sinful way. Back to verse 11. Nevertheless, in spite of all of this, neither is man independent of woman. He was created first. He was created alone. He was given responsibility before the woman was created. That may sound like he is capable of independence, but no, because even at the beginning, and again, we learn so much if we go back to the beginning. Even from the beginning, God said, man's not complete this way. It's not good that he should be alone. He needs something to complete him. He's not independent. You say, well, all I need is myself and God. That's all I need. Well, no, not the way God spells it out in Scripture. Not the way God said it. Not the way God said it before us in his revelation concerning creation. and not the way that Paul teaches it here in 1 Corinthians 11. Nevertheless, neither is a man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. Christians don't act that way. We have a lot of people in our day who are determined that, in our day, particularly women, with the women's live movement and the feminist movement and so forth, that women don't need men. Women are capable of being independent from men. Women will be happier if they're independent from men. Women need to prove that they don't need men. Women need to be as independent as possible and just demonstrate their equality and even superiority in some cases. The thinking is, but certainly equality, full equality with man by being independent from man. Wrong. Christians don't do that. Not if they are obedient Christians and submissive Christians. Christians don't act that way. Christians don't think that way. 4, verse 12, as woman came from man, that goes back to what we've been taught in the original creation. The woman was created out of the man, so she didn't come first, she came second. For as woman came from man, even so, man also comes through the woman. What's that a reference to? Birth. Adam was created without the benefit of a woman, but you weren't. The first man was, and that does teach us something about God's creation order. And that is spelled out here. That's one of the reasons why there is this clear distinction between the sexes and distinct roles within the church and the way we worship. This is all spelled out and is traced back to original creation when God made Adam first and made the woman second and brought her to complement and to be a helper to the man in the responsibility that God had given to the man. But ever since then, ever since that first creation, where Adam was created out of the dust of the ground and Eve was created out of the side of Adam, every other person in this world has been born from a woman. Every other person has spent the first 9 months of their life nurtured in the body of a woman. Every other person, male or female, has come through a woman. He makes a distinction between being of a woman and being through a woman. For as woman comes from man, even so man also comes through woman. But he concludes that verse by saying, but all things are from God. And so Christians don't take these truths and use them in an abusive way. Christian men don't abuse women. They don't abuse their wives. Christian wives don't rise up in rebellion against their husbands or against men in general. Christians don't abuse these truths. Christians recognize the mutual interdependence between male and female. It takes both. It takes male and female to produce another human being. And every human being comes through the mother and therefore respects the woman, respects the mother, respects the woman highly. Divine origin requires respect given to both male and female because both trace their existence to God and everyone is required to submit to God's ultimate authority. All things are from God. He made it this way. He revealed to us how he made it, or we wouldn't even know, because we weren't there. Nobody was there to record it in Genesis. But God told us, and God makes the application for it here in 1 Corinthians 11. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.